Thank you, Father. Just lift up your hands to the Lord. Just close your eyes for the next 1 minute. And just begin to meditate on Jesus for his kindness towards you. For all the great things he's done for you. Just love on him. Just appreciate him for all what he has done for you, for giving you the gift of salvation, for the monies you received, for the same roads and routes you used that others used and never survived, for his loving kindness and his tender mercies. As these eyes are closed, just begin to wave their hands to the Lord and thank him. Be very deliberate about what you're doing, because he receives your thanksgiving as sacrifice. David said, let my prayers be set before you as incense and the lifting up of my hands as evening sacrifice. Which means that anytime you lift up your hands, it's a posture of sacrifice. And you begin to bless and give him glory and praise. Thank him for your life. Thank him for breath. Many of you are taking things for granted. You will not know the power of breathing until you are using oxygen in the hospital. You will not know what it means to be able to eat twice a day until you're in the hospital trying to eat and food is not digesting. You will not know what it means to walk than to be hospitalized in your bed and you are bedridden for 3 months. Can you be grateful for the next 1 minute? Be deliberate about how grateful you are to him. For your life, for your family, for your parents, for your siblings. For the provisions, for the shoes, for the water he has provided for you. For giving you a place to lay your head to sleep. It's by the grace of God. Appreciate him in gratefulness. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I'm grateful. For counting me worthy to hold this microphone. I'm grateful for my wife and my children. Thank you for the seeds that come to me. Thank you for giving me a means of transportation. Thank you for making me born again. Thank you for forgiving me all my sins. Thank you for giving me your Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you. For you are light and in you is no darkness at all. And your word declares that if we walk in the light as you are in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. This morning we have come to the shower of grace. Wash us and cleanse us as we sit at your feet. That we all with an unveiled face as we behold us in the mirror, the glory of God are changed into the same image by your spirit. For your word declares in the book of John 15, the verse 5, that without you we can do nothing. We ask that, Lord, you fill us with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we will walk worthy of you unto all pleasing and bearing fruits in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We know that we are never the same again, for you are blessing us with strength, with glory, with favor, with weight in the spirit, and with power. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 This morning, I believe so greatly that your life will never be the same again. Now, this month happens to be a month of sacrifice, and I think it causes no harm if I teach you something on the power of sacrifice. Now, quickly, if we have the time, I want to quickly enlighten you on something on the power of sacrifice, or what you can call spiritual sacrifices. Now, I want you to understand that the purpose of this teaching is not to let you give money, in as much as giving money involves, sacrifice involves giving money. I want to try to give you a full spectrum of what it means to be sacrificial in the Christian life. Now, sacrifices did not begin from now. Sacrifices began right from the Old Testament days. The first sacrifice that was offered was when, after Adam sinned and realized that he was naked. The Bible tells us that God used the skin of an animal, which means the animal was killed. And the skin of that animal became a protective covering for the nakedness of man. That was the first time we saw something like a sacrifice. And of course, that skin of the animal was to picture Jesus Christ, who was going to be the sacrifice that covers man's shame. But right on from then, other sacrifices were given. Abraham offered sacrifices to God. Noah offered sacrifices to God. Some of these sacrifices were food. Some of these sacrifices mainly were animals. And some of these sacrifices were gold and silver. God enacted the nation of Israel and inaugurated that nation with a system of sacrifices that was to serve as a priestly governance that was supposed to run the nation of Israel if they were supposed to deal with God. So we saw the full picture of the Levitical system through the sacrifices that were offered to God. And most of the time, those sacrifices were blood sacrifices. Now, note that those blood sacrifices were only a type, a shadow, a harbinger, a prefiguration, or an adumbration of Jesus Christ and what he was going to do on the cross. Now follow me carefully. So many sacrifices were offered in the Old Testament. But there was one ultimate sacrifice that fulfilled the purposes of all those sacrifices that were offered in the Old Testament. Which sacrifice was Jesus Christ? When you read the book of Psalm 40, he says that sacrifices and offerings, I did not have desire or pleasure, but a body has thou prepared for me. That means all those 1.5 million sacrifices that were offered in the Old Testament was actually an anticipation of one ultimate sacrifice, which was the sacrifice of Jesus. So when you read the book of Hebrews chapter 10, you realize that Jesus Christ offered himself as a burnt offering, as a sin offering, and relatively, he fulfilled all the Old Testament sacrifices from Genesis down to Malachi. Praise God. So we need to understand that the ultimate sacrifice was the sacrifice of Jesus. And it was that ultimate sacrifice that made it possible for us to be saved. So which means that without the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ in dying as the scapegoat or the Lamb of God, no man can be saved. Now that should tell you that, you know, Moses performed so many miracles, but none of the miracles brought Israel out of captivity. There was only one miracle that was performed, which was the death of the Passover lamb, or the death of the firstborn of Egypt. You know, You remember the time when the firstborns in Egypt began to die because they didn't have the blood, right? It was after that miracle that Israel was made to come out of Egypt. It came as a result of a lamb being sacrificed, telling us that, do you remember Jesus performed so many miracles? He healed the sick, he raised the dead, but there was only one miracle that brought man out of captivity of sin, which was the sacrifice of himself as the Lamb of God. So there is power in this sacrifice that Jesus Christ offered for us on Calvary. And listen to me, every other sacrifice in the life of the Christian must be built upon this foundation. Because of time, I wouldn't want to go into the sacrificial system of Israel, but I want to go straight into sacrifices, or what we call spiritual sacrifices. Before then, I want to teach you quickly on some few principles of sacrifices. Remember that almost all the sacrifices that were offered in the Old Testament were most often physical sacrifices. But actually, in the New Testament, most sacrifices are spiritual sacrifices. So now, when we're talking of sacrifice, before you think that a sacrifice begins by sowing your cast a seed, you must get the full scope of what it means for a Christian to offer sacrifices to God. Please, are you following this thing? So now, what does it mean to sacrifice something, or what does a sacrifice mean? A sacrifice basically means to offer up something. It means to offer up something, or it means to give up something for something. To give up something for something. Or to offer up something. So, for example, the animal that was sacrificed in Genesis actually brought something, which was the covering of man. The burnt offerings that were offered up to God brought something called atonement. Are we following that? So, the purpose of a sacrifice is to release something from above. So, Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice, and what came? The Holy Spirit came down. So, we need to understand that every sacrifice releases something. So, salvation was released by the sacrifice of Jesus. Am I laying a good foundation for you? So, when we say we're sacrificing something or to sacrifice, it means to offer up or to give up something. So, when an animal was sacrificed, the animal was offered, he was giving up, the blood was shed, giving up for a certain purpose. Jesus sacrificed his life so that we may have life. Are you getting that? So, there is no sacrifice that is without a cause, or there is no sacrifice that doesn't channel for the bringing up of anything. Are we following? So quickly, because of time, let's go into some principles of sacrifices. Now, these principles should guide you if you want to be a Christian that wants to learn how to sacrifice. The first principle of sacrifice is that it must cost you. Every sacrifice must cost you. So, we're giving you some few principles about sacrifice. If you want to understand what sacrifice is, I'm giving it to you. So, if what you are doing is not within the scope of these things I'm sharing with you in these principles, it may not be a sacrifice. So, the first principle of sacrifice is that it must what? It must cost you. In the book of 2 Samuel chapter 24, the verse 24, David purchased a threshold from a man called Aruna. So Aruna is in the Bible. And this man says, because you're the king, no, there's no need. You don't have to pay. And that threshold was supposed to be used for the purposes of the Lord. And David gave us a certain clue on how our service to God must be. He says that, I won't do it. But I will surely buy it of thee at what? A price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto my God, that which does not what? Cost me nothing. So listen to me. A sacrifice is something that costs you.
So anytime a sacrifice is given, there is a price. There's a price tag. It must cost you something. That's number one. Quickly, number two, a sacrifice is equivalent to blood in the spirit. A sacrifice is equivalent to blood in the spirit. Basically, in the Old Testament, when we said something was sacrificed or an animal was sacrificed, it was the blood. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in what? The blood. So we can't call it a sacrifice until the blood is shed. Are we getting that? So the sacrifice itself is in the what? The blood. Tell someone the blood. Now, likewise, because today we cannot give our blood to Jesus, because he has already offered it. Are you getting that? So there are things we can do that in the spirit may look like life, which is blood. So for example, money is blood. Tell somebody blood. Fasting is blood. Prayer is blood. Are you getting this thing at all? So sacrifices are equivalent to blood in the spirit. I'm talking of their value, their weight. Are you getting this? Number three, sacrifices must stem out of genuine love for God and not by compulsion. Sacrifices must stem out of genuine love for God. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 3, the verse 3, the Bible tells us that Solomon loved the Lord. Look, he says Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only that he sacrificed burnt incense in the high places. So now, if you notice, he says Solomon loved the Lord. Now, come to the next verse. He says that, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place, a what? 1,000 burnt offerings. Now, every king that was put into office or inaugurated into office offered just one bullock. But the verse 3 tells us that Solomon loved the Lord, and his response, what followed with that love, was what? 1,000 burnt offering. It was after this God appeared to him and gave him a blank check. So sacrifices must stem out of what? Love for God. Anytime you are trying to do something beyond you, that stems out of compulsion, it was not a sacrifice. And you may never receive anything out of it. I'm teaching good here. Number four. Sacrifices is one of the greatest things that changes spiritual climates. Whilst I was preparing, the Holy Ghost was just sharing all these things I'm sharing with you. It was just coming by revelation. Sacrifices is one of the greatest things that changes spiritual climate. Listen, you can change your spiritual climate by sacrifice. How do I know that? I know that by the climate that was changed in the sacrifice of Jesus. When you read the book of Matthew chapter 27, the verse 51, something happened when Jesus Christ died after offering himself as a sacrifice. Now watch, in the book of Matthew chapter 27, the verse 51, he says, when he died, behold, the veil of the temple, what? Rent in twain from the top to bottom, and the earth did what? Quake. And the rocks did what? Rent. There was a change in spiritual climate. There was thunderings after that sacrifice was offered. Why? Because the spiritual climate had been changed. Anytime something is offered as a sacrifice, you change your spiritual climate to your favor. Let me give you a practical example. When, for example, someone is kidnapped and offered to an idol for a sacrifice, and the person probably is buried in a room, do you know that for many years that room will be heavy? Are you aware? That room will be heavy, right? I have a son who has a daughter, not a physical daughter, a spiritual daughter
in Accra. I think I'm told around Chimota area or something. She went to rent a house, or okay, a room somewhere. And when she rented the room, every single time that she sleeps, a young girl comes to her in a dream crying. And anytime she enters the room, there is a certain heaviness in that room. This is a true story. So after like 2-3 months, one time was going out and an old man called him and said, "My dear sister, that room where you are in has a history." "What's the history?" "Many years ago, like 15 years ago, one young girl between the age of 15 to 20 was killed and buried at that place. Her blood was shed and she was buried at the very place where they have made your room." Now, how can people be that wicked? They won't tell you that they have buried a human being there. And you rent the place. So since the time she entered, the whole climate, the whole environment was what? Heavy. I'm using that to explain, to let you understand that anytime a sacrifice is lifted, it changes climate. Now, are you aware that when it is the smokes that ascends to heaven that darkens the clouds for rain? Likewise, our sacrifices ascend to heaven and darken the spiritual clouds to change the climate for rain. I'm teaching you there. Number 5. This one is a bump. Sacrifices move spirits. Sacrifices move spirits. When I talk of spirits, I'm talking of angels, demons, and God himself. That tender that happened in Matthew 27, that earthquake, it was God expressing his broken heart for his son that was lost. That means that sacrifice moved him. Are we getting this thing? Listen, Solomon offered 1,000 bullocks instead of one, and God appeared to him. Why? Because God was moved. Likewise, in the other kingdom, sacrifices move spirits. That is why someone can sacrifice his mother and get money. Oh, you don't get this thing, no? A witch can sacrifice their daughter for promotion. I'll give you an example of a counter sacrifice, which is the opposite side of the kingdom. 2 Kings chapter 3, the verse 26. A king went into a battle with Israel, okay? And Israel was winning the battle. He had the whole army. Israel was winning the battle. And he realized that there was nothing he could do. No. He says, when the king of Moab, so that was the Moab king, saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took up with him 700 men. Hold on there. That drew what? Saw strong men to break through even to the king of Edom, but they could not break through the camp of Israel. And look at the next verse. Then he took what? His eldest son. Hey! Remember in the verse 26, this guy gathered 700 swordsmen who were strong. That means what the strength of 700 swordsmen could not do, one sacrifice did. So he said, then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead. Then he offered him for a burnt offering. Can you imagine? Onto the wall, and there was what? Great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. The whole battle turned to the favor of the Moabite king when he offered his son as a sacrifice. That means in the opposite kingdom, sacrifices can turn things around. That is why I shared with you that, listen, in the opposite kingdom, whoever pays the price win. So if the witch in your family is sacrificing his daughter, his uncle, and his aunties, and you are eating both load. Early in the morning, watch it in the afternoon, and in the evening you toss it up with banku and coke. And then that which calls your name and says, Sikapa! Then you appear in the pot like, this is how you're doing. Finish him, yeah. I'm telling you, nobody will advise you this way. That witch will be more powerful than you. Meanwhile, the blood of Jesus saved you. Meanwhile, you have the Holy Ghost too. You don't know. Do you know that Jesus was with his disciples in the boat, yet they were sinking until they called him? That means Jesus may be in your boat, your life, and you still sink. So until you wake up the Jesus in you, you will sink. So I've seen many Christians who are disappointed in God, and God is just laughing. You never rose up at midnight to pray. You never have a prayer life. When we say we are fasting, you are eating. When we say we are giving towards something, then you have the money, you put it in your pocket, and they are watching. Spirits are watching. Let me tell you something. Listen, huh? We are some baby in Sikwao. I am telling you. That is why, listen, if you are serving God, be deliberate. If you are serving Satan, be deliberate, because there's no middle ground. So sacrifices move what? Spirit. So listen to me. Because of time, let me move on, because I've not started the message. Number six. Sacrifices speak in heaven and in hell. Look at the book of Acts chapter 10, verse 1. I am giving you Bible verses. You know, see, when you go home and go and study these things I'm teaching you, whatever I'm teaching you now, all your life victories are in it. So it will show God that you hear such a rich teaching and you are still begging. And you are still living the same life. Listen, be serious. Nothing happens by chance. Look, he says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called what? The Italian band. Now look at the next verse. He says, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave what? What? Much alms to the people and did what? Praise to God always. Now look at the next verse. He says he saw a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Look at the next verse. When he looked upon him, he was what? Afraid, and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Which means the prayers and the alms or giving lifestyle of Cornelius was a sacrifice in heaven that God was watching every day. Can you imagine? Because of that, when people go out through the world to go and preach the gospel, he received a red carpet invitation to Christ. They sent special men. Peter was the one, the pillar of the New Testament church. He was the one that came to preach salvation to him. Red carpet reception for salvation. So listen, sacrifice speak. Every sacrifice has a voice. Do you know the Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus speaketh what? Better things than the blood of Abel. Why? Because his blood was offered as sacrifice. So listen, every sacrifice has a voice. It can speak in heaven, it can speak in hell. Your name can be mentioned in hell and people say, hey, please, I beg you, this guy, don't go. Because the sacrifices he has offered up, they are too much. I know what you are thinking when I'm talking about sacrifice. We are coming there soon. Then you realize that you were all wrong. Now, quickly, number 7, right? Priests offer sacrifices without which their ministry dies. Every priest offers sacrifices without which their ministry dies. So hear me. If you call yourself a New Testament priest, from Sunday to Sunday, nothing goes up to heaven from you as a priest. Your ministry as a priest will die. Hear me carefully. If you truly call yourself a priest, which you are, and no sacrifice comes from you on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, your ministry will die as a priest. Now, when you read the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, the verse 5, and 1 Peter chapter 2, the verse 9, you will notice that the Bible qualifies the priesthood of the believer in two dimensions. In the first one, he says, you also as lively stones are built up upon a spiritual house and what? Holy priesthood. Now observe. So the first dimension of priesthood in the New Testament is holy priesthood. Now look at the verse 9 of the same chapter. Now look, he says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now they are not the same. He's telling us that the ministry called priesthood in the life of the believer is in two dimensions. Number one, you are a holy priest. And number two, you are what? Royal priest. They are not same. Now, let me explain. What does it mean to be a holy priest? Come to the verse 5. We are going to see that in the very context. In the context, let me read my own Bible. So now look at verse 5. He says, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy what? Priesthood. What is the ministry of the holy priesthood? To offer what? Spiritual sacrifices to who? God. Acceptable to God by Jesus. So as a holy priesthood, now listen carefully. I'm explaining the difference between the holy priesthood and the royal priesthood. The holy priesthood has a ministry of offering up sacrifices to God. So, holy priesthood means your sacrifices are upward. That is your ministry to God, though. So, as a holy priesthood, your ministry is first to God. You offer up something. So your duty as a holy priesthood is to offer to God. So it is upward. I'm teaching good here. And I'm going to explain all the things I'm teaching you. So you're going to understand spiritual sacrifices very soon. Your ministry is to who? God. So hear me carefully. The first ministry of the believer is not to people. It is first to God. So, for example, if you are in the choir, before you hold the microphone to minister, you might have spent time with God in prayer that dawn before you ministered to the people. Are you following this thing carefully? So we are to offer up. So the ministry or the duty of the holy priesthood is upward. Now, in context, let's go back to the verse 9 so you understand who a royal priest is. Now, he says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that you should what? Show forth the praises. So the purpose of the royal priest is to demonstrate, to manifest, to show to others the praises of God. Are you getting this thing? So in simple put, your holy priesthood is unto God. Your royal priesthood is unto men.
So he's saying that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So actually, if he has brought you into light, what do you manifest? Light to men. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. So listen, as priests, our duty is first to God and to who? Men. Please follow this thing. This thing I'm teaching you is a very serious matter. So, I want to explain further what it means to be a royal priesthood, because give that to me in Amplified version, verse 2:9, chapter 2:9. Amplified, 9. Now look, he says, but you were chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the what? What? You are not here with me. Wonderful what? Deeds. And display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his what? Marvelous light. Now the next verse is going to even deepen the understanding for us to know that your royal priesthood duty is to men. Now look at the next verse. It says, which in time past, okay, you can keep the KJV, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained what? Mercy. Now look at the verse 11. He's going further to explain what it means to display the wonderful deeds of God as a royal priesthood. He says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from what? Fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. So now listen, if a priest does not abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, he's saying that he may never end up ministering as a royal priest. He will forfeit it. Look at the next verse also. He says, having your lifestyle, give that to me in NLT. The verse 12. Having your conversation, which is lifestyle. Be careful to live properly among your what? Unbelieving neighbors. That is how you shine his marvelous light. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable what? Behavior, and they shall give honor to God when he judges the world. Now listen to me. If you are saying that, hey, by the grace of God, we are a royal priesthood, glory, please, it's not glory. It's deeds. It's one deed. So the proof that you were royal priesthood in the thing is that it's revealed in the things you do that unbelievers see. Your unbelieving neighbors. So listen to me. If you disrespect your tenants and your landlord, you are an unfaithful royal priest. And the whole room gets silent. People see you carrying your Bible to church every Sunday. And yet you bring three women to your hostel every week. Hey! That's a priest. I can imagine Aaron wearing his royal regalia as a priest, and girls will follow him. Listen, the office upon your life is a heavy duty office. You can't mess it up. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. He says, for the Lord's sake, respect all human authority. So as a royal priest, you must respect all human authority, whether the king as the head of the state. That's President Akufo-Addo. Now look at the verse 14. He says, all the officials he has appointed, for the king has sent them to punish you, blah, blah, blah. Look at the verse 15. It is the will of God that your life, that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish what? Accusations against you. That means your life must silence people. Can you imagine that the magistrate, the magicians in the days of Daniel, the Bible tells us in Daniel 6:5 that they could not find anything against Daniel. They couldn't. I'm talking to some priests here. This is no joke. And now look at the verse 16. He says, the verse 16. He says, as free and not using your what? So liberty can be used for two purposes. For our personal purposes, selfish purposes, and God's purposes. He says, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of what? Wickedness, maliciousness, but as servants of God. I'm teaching good though. Listen, don't give Christianity a bad name as a priest of God. I am telling you. Because right now, we can't see God physically. The only physical reference of God is you as a child of God. So if because of you, someone says, I will never go to church, it's an indictment in God's kingdom. If because of you, someone says, is this what you people call Christianity? I don't want to have anything to do with it. You have blackmailed, tarnished the image of God. I'm telling you. Listen, do you remember the song? It says, "Me wa simbi, se me kaya, na deben, me pentem, huh? Onyamina semti, se me kaya, ana otibi munti, se me kaya, na me jai." Samekaya na me jai. You so kaya na wa ye. No. You know, there are some of you the Holy Ghost will find a way to convict you. On your way, in thought, he will use every single means to help you to remind you that, listen, my name is at stake. My name is at stake. And you trample upon that name. And this is the same person who comes and says, Lord, send revival. Where is that revival coming from? Lord, I want to love you more. The proof of love is obedience. So, you see, there are too many fake Christians who come to church every Sunday pretending to love Jesus and they don't love him. Because love is not in confession. I'm telling you, it's not in confession. It's in action. It's in deeds. I'm teaching good here. Number 7. Number 8. There can never be Christianity without sacrifice. Now I'm going to use 30 minutes to do the rest of the damage. There can never be what? Observe this thing I'm teaching you. There can never be Christianity without what? Sacrifice. Now, this is a very important thing you need to note. Okay? Now, Christianity was founded upon a sacrifice. Therefore, it will forever be built upon sacrifices. I repeat myself again. Christianity was founded upon a sacrifice. And therefore, will be built upon what? Sacrifices. This is a very important thing to note down. Don't forget it. If there's anything to forget in this message, not this one. Christianity was founded upon what? A sacrifice. That means Jesus laid down his life as a sacrifice for us. That was the foundation of Christianity. Therefore, it will be built upon sacrifices. So he offered one sacrifice that he may receive many sacrifices from you. So hear me. If your life as a child of God is not echoing sacrifices to Jesus Christ, you are unfaithful. You will never qualify for any reward in heaven. I'm teaching you something very serious here. My messages don't pamper. They don't motivate. They equip people. They make people serious with God. So listen, anything that doesn't come from your life as a sacrifice to God, I am telling you, you are wasting life and breath. Now, I'm going to give you 8 examples of sacrifices or 8 kinds of sacrifices for the New Testament priest.
Lord, give me time. Give me time. Give me time. I don't know how to brush teachings fast. But I have to finish this teaching also today. Because today is the day we are collecting your money. I'm just kidding. But it's true. Hallelujah. Number one. Now, please listen to this teaching very carefully, because someone's life is dependent on this day I'm teaching. Number one, the first kind of sacrifice is what we call the fruit of our lips. That's why I said the things I'm going to teach you about spiritual sacrifices, they are not the things you know. Because when you think of sacrifice, basically, you say it's giving a car, giving your house. You may give your house and then your heart is not in what you're giving. So the first New Testament sacrifice is what? The fruit of our lips. Come to me with me to Hebrews chapter 13, the verse 15. This will bless you. This will bless you. Ha, 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 ha. Can we read together? Loudly. One, two, go. This is good. Now, in the New Testament, the priest does not kill animals again. So, if we are supposed to offer up spiritual sacrifices, according to 1 Peter 2:5, those sacrifices must be spiritual. And he's telling us one here, we have spotted one here. He says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. Oh, Hebrews 13, 15. He says, by him therefore let us offer what? The sacrifice of praise. So the first sacrifice, or the first spiritual sacrifice of the believer, is the fruit of our lips. He calls it the sacrifice of praise. How many times? How many times? Continually. That is the fruit of our lips. What? Giving thanks to his name. Hear me. Hear me carefully. Thanksgiving is sacrifice. You see how it is so simple and easy. Check it. The reason why it is a sacrifice is the reason why you're not doing it. Do you see you don't do it? Because it will take sacrifice to do it. He's saying that we have to do this thing continually. Listen, anytime a believer is giving thanks to God, he's offering spiritual sacrifices. So do you see, first of all, this thing is not even money. The money is going to come in, I think, number six or so. So, you see, I'm going to come to something very soon. But listen, the first spiritual sacrifice we offer to God is praises. Now, come with me quickly to Psalm 27, verse 6. I'm going to give you more scriptures. When you go home, do Bible study on your own. Now, look. He says, now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies, run about me. Therefore, I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of what? Joy. So joy, praise, all these things go together. If a believer is in an angry mood every time, he attracts demons. He says, a sacrifice of joy, I will what? Sing. So praises, giving God praises. Thanksgiving, which is a sacrifice of a praise, is a sacrifice. Lift your hand. Say, thank you, Jesus, for unpleasant circumstances in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for things that didn't go well. Thank you, Jesus, for my family, for my loved ones. Thank you for how far I've come. Thank you for the clothes. Thank you for this nation. Thank you for giving me a place to sleep. Thank you for all your provisions. Thank you for the breath you've given to me. Thank you for your kindness, for your loving kindness, for your mercies. Thank you. You are supposed to be doing this continually. In the lecture hall, in the office, when you wake up in the morning. Now, so let me tell you something. Effective prayer comes by first offering praises and thanks to God. So if you're that kind of believer, you start praying and start binding demons. You can go far. Because prayer is not first to Satan. It is first to God. Now, we need to understand that prayer is to God, warfare is to Satan. So, the first personality that prayer is geared towards is who? God. No matter the demons chasing you, you face God first.
with praises and thanksgiving. Because I realized that if you don't understand this, a lot of Christians pray out of desperation. They pray out of ingratitude. Lord, look at how far, look at what you have made me, Lord. Is that how far you can bring me? Lord, I can't remain like this. Oh, you see, so when you begin your prayer, there is no thanksgiving in it. So already you are coming with complaint and not with offering. And if you're in a relationship with someone and the person is always complaining, conclude. No, conclude. As a human being, if you're in a relationship, the person, every day, why are you wearing this car? What is going to happen? When will happen? So listen to me. Be grateful for once. Every day in thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you. Look what you have made out of my life. 3 days ago, I was remembering. I was a drummer, sitting on drum, playing drum. When a prophet called me and said, you're going to be a great prophet of God. I said, Lord, look at this puppet. That was sitting on a drum, and look what you have made out of him in 15 years. Lord, I'm so grateful for what you have made me. Even the challenges were to shape my life. Thank you so much for raising a pillar for your body. I was thanking him for something he did 15 years ago. I was blessing his name. That's a sacrifice. There are too many ungrateful believers. When you had no job, he gave you a job 2 years ago. Now you're complaining of salary. You know, Christians easily forget. I am telling you. The same God who came through for you, in just 2 weeks, you have forgotten about him. And you are telling him that he has left you. You know, sometimes if I was God, maybe we'd be much serious. When you are hearing them bringing complaints, so now you don't know, in heaven it's a hotline. Oh, you know the way MTN, their hotlines, people call, people give, MTN people give complaints. My network is not working. Jimmy, MTN 4. Eh? Move, fix it. Then they, another person calls, please, how do you do bundle? That's how it is in heaven. Phone calls, that's prayers coming to God. Full of ungratefulness. Please bring him here. No, that's Pastor Kwame. Bring him here. He came all the way from US. He has been following my teachings from US. And he came down to Ghana. He decided to fellowship with us. He was the one that brought me some dollars. That was last week. God bless you. Dollars are very necessary. You understand? Hallelujah. Where was I? Hotline. Many of you, your prayers are making noise, complaints in heaven. Yeah? No, I'm teaching you something serious. So now your heart must be grateful. Let me tell you something. You realize that all the things you have been worrying about, when you start converting them into thanksgiving, you realize those things were not worthy of being worried about. You always worried, you know, okay, because of time. Psalm 54, the verse 6. Psalm 54, the verse 6. Now look, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will what? Praise thy name. So anytime you praise the name of God, you are sacrificing to him. Now, you see, the challenge about Christianity is that any child of God who doesn't execute his Christian life by revelation will soon get depressed. So we function by revelation. Now it's a very important thing. That's why if you're a child of God, you don't have revelation and you're in danger. Do you realize that God gave Israel manna and the manna was renewed every morning? That to us in the New Testament is revelation. That's your sustenance. That's what keeps you running. So imagine in your spirit, now you know that anytime you say, I praise your name, Jesus, I give you praise for who you are. What you are doing is that you are doing what? You are doing what? Offering what? Sacrifices. Psalm 116, verse 17. Guys, if I were you, I would listen to this message twice this week. He says, I will offer to thee what? The sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, David was a man of revelation. This man was not in New Testament. In his days, it was animals they gave. But David caught a revelation into time in our day and said, no, a time is going to come, animals will not be needed. And he started practicing what we will practice in the old. Thanksgiving. Do you realize that he says that I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I would enter his courts with praise. It can be a prayer meeting. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Then he says, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Can you sing it to him? He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Now be deliberate. We are practicing it. Lift your hands. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. Has made me glad. I will rejoice. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Now imagine that your mother is sick, your school fees is not paid, bad things are happening to your family, and you woke up in the morning and this is what you are saying to God. What is there to sing about making you glad? Yet you are singing. See, so that song is a confession. Listen to me. Every song is a confession. That's what we have been saying, that be careful with songs you listen to, because if it's a shatter kind of song, you are making a confession. So listen to me. You can be snared by your words and your songs. Praises to him. I give you praise, my Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm grateful. I told you the last time, according to Christian arithmetic, out of every 10 believers, only one give thanks. We got that from the 10 lepers. They were all cleansed, salvation. Only one came back to say, thank you, master, by worshiping him. And he said to that one, where are the other nine? That means he was interested in the thanksgiving of the other nine. And he told only one, your faith, that means thanksgiving is a sign of faith, has made you whole. It brings wholeness. So nine were healed and cleansed. One was made whole. Big difference. So, you see, these are principles that we... Listen, oh my goodness. We have destroyed Christianity, I'm telling you. Anytime I'm praying for the body of Christ, my heart breaks. Because we have made everything anointing oil. We have made everything break and loose. We have made everything a demon following you. In as much as they are true, and I pray, we pray against them, we deal with them. But listen to me, there are secrets in the kingdom beyond binding and losing. I have seen a family that were broke with 5 children in Nigeria. They had Bishop David Oedipo preach the same thing, and they had no food. They were far from town, and they started singing praises, and they put water in the pot. They praised and thanked God. By the next morning when they woke up, it was a soup of meat, a soup with meat. That took them 1 week to finish it. If I'm lying, that means Bishop Oedipo is also lying, because I heard it from him. So people don't know that. You see, remember I told you in the principles of sacrifice, we said
that every sacrifice can change what? Spiritual climate. I've told you several times, no warrior can be a warrior. Number two. We are just on number two and our time is up. Number two. The second spiritual sacrifice of the believer is offering your body. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Another name is called consecration. Look, as I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present what? What? A living sacrifice. Now, this is very dangerous. The Old Testament sacrifices were dead. Have you observed that? The animal. It is after the animal is dead that the animal is dead. But truth be told, you cannot be able to offer your life when you don't have life. So, it is only in the New Testament that a believer can make himself a living sacrifice or offer himself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I'm going to drop some lead for you. Pay attention to it. God doesn't need your offerings. The church needs it. He actually knew. So some Christians are okay if they can give an offering and the same. Hear me carefully. If your offering is heavy and your life is not heavy before, your life is a waste. So hear me. When you are bringing heavy seed, the church needs it to be able to. But God, He owns the couple of thousand hills now. He told Israel some time ago that if I want a cow or a bullock, can't I? Because I created it. So if you are bringing me a bullock, it doesn't mean anything to me. What I want is, He says, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. So listen, without your money, without your body, that offering won't strike a chord in heaven. So listen to me. When the believer offers his body sacrificially to God in living to God's glory, then his offering becomes an aroma. So listen, your offering is a reflection on the life you are living. Christians have stopped weeping. Years ago, when a Christian fell into iniquity, we are not saying that you are going to be perfectly holy in everything that you are doing. But there's a place where every believer must strive for perfection. We are talking about years ago, when Christians will mess up in a week and they come to church and they are weeping that, God, help me, I don't like this life. They didn't care about who was standing beside them. But now people mess up, they come and sit down quietly in church, behaving as if nothing has happened. And these are people who lift up their hands as if nothing has happened and they are worshiping. We don't get this thing. I'm telling you, we don't get this thing. We don't get this thing. So, the second spiritual sacrifice is the offering of your body. Now look with me in the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 13. Now observe this thing carefully. He says, neither yield your what? Your members, talking of the parts of your bodies. Instruments of what? Ah. Hear me carefully. Every part of your body is an instrument. This verse changed my life. Every part of my body is an instrument. That means I can use my mouth to say something that will destroy God's kingdom. I can use my hand to touch something I'm not to touch. I can use my legs to walk somewhere I'm not supposed to go. So he's saying that neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. That means, listen to me, you can use your body. And he's saying that, but yield yourselves unto God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments unto God.
There are days lust will cripple you like something. And you have to tell this body that this body is an instrument unto righteousness. I use it to serve the purposes of God. I use it to serve God. I use it to serve God. Nobody will take advantage of my body. Since Revelation, that your body is the temple of, you can't use your manhood for masturbation. That revelation will kill it. It will kill it. That means you are offering it unto sin. That's what the Bible says. So it can be an offering. You know that corrupt philosopher tell us, he said, no man can stay alone. No man can have one wife. That's nonsense. One of our pastors here, his workers told him that Charlie, no man on this earth who is married and is not cheating on the wife. I said, no. I was shocked that someone believes that and he's Christian. I don't know if he's an elder of a church. You don't believe it. This is a philosophy, a demonic philosophy that has made you leave yourself. Sacrifice. Let me tell you something. If a believer willingly chooses to use a part of his body to live for God and deliberately chooses to exempt himself from doing bad practices with his body, what he has done in that choice is a sacrifice. You don't know. Psalm 4, the verse 5. Watch this. He says, offer the sacrifices of what? Righteousness. That word there is right living. Anytime a believer lives right, he's sacrificing to God. I'll finish this teaching. Number 3. Generosity to others is a sacrifice. Let's do it quickly. You can call it almsgiving. There are too many wicked believers out there. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Look, he says, but to do good and give them penalty so they understand. Look, he says, and don't forget to do good and to what? Share with in need the sacrifice that please God. Listen, almsgiving, showing people. Don't wait for your dress to become completely worn out. So this don't just me. Give out shoes. Not when it becomes small on you. Give up your wig. Not when all the hairs have removed. You know Christians who mock people who fall in church. I wonder when you are, do you remember what you did though? That a Christian who was saved by Jesus Christ and did not have money, he was not fortunate like you are, and came with a torn shoe or a shoe he has worn for many years and he's still managing it. And he came to church and he said, look at this shoe. No, see, you don't know the offense you have committed to the Holy Ghost. You don't know. God made your eyes direct to that shoes to buy one. You see, many of us don't know that sometimes if God opens your eyes to certain people, maybe the person's dress is not looking good. God was opening your eyes to get one, not to laugh. Get one color combination. That you don't know color combination. Combine for her. Listen, many Christians are not kind. And hear me, you see, there's a certain mentality. If I have it, I'll do it. That's a lie. Anybody who doesn't do it when he doesn't have enough will never do it when he has enough. And I've always been saying this. A millionaire is not one who has 1 million in his account. A millionaire is one who is a blessing to 1 million. So it's not what you have in your account. When people bless me on a monthly basis, I distribute it. My mother gets some, my father gets some, my siblings get some, church members get some. The church I came from, I am still sowing, I'm still taking care of some families there till now. With the small I'm receiving, you know, let me tell you something. When you give to a man of God, you are giving to many people, especially a genuine one. Because every money I receive, people are blessed by it. I'm telling you before God and man. Generosity is a sacrifice. Do you remember in Acts 10, it became a memorial in heaven when Cornelius was giving alms? Galatians chapter 6, the verse 9 and 10. Look, I love it. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall what? Reap if we faint not. Hey, I've realized something. If you keep giving people watches, people will start blessing you with watches. If you keep giving people shoes, people will start blessing you with shoes. If you keep giving people clothes, people will start giving you clothes. You'll be shocked. It will take some time, but it will come. He says, you shall reap. Look, he says, as we have therefore what? Let me break it down for you. Every gift to someone, an opportunity for you, not for the receiver. He didn't say as the receiver has, as we have opportunity. So when you're kind to somebody and a person thanks you, you just tell him it's a privilege. That's how I do it. Because I have just received a privilege to be a blessing to you. So what I did for you was a privilege. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are what? Of the household of. That means if there is an unbeliever from a religion, and there's a believer who is your spiritual brother, and both of you are both you for something. He's saying you have to show the kindness first to who? To the believer. The spirit is scriptural. Especially to those who are of the household of faith. You take your new clothes to orphanage where you don't know them first until you have seen orphans in your own church and bless them. So some Christians are in him. The people around you are not seeing them. Tell someone generosity. Listen, every act of kindness you give is an aroma of sacrifice in heaven. That's why I'm always showing kindness to people. I can be talking to you. One of my sons, someone bought me a crystallized watch. He was talking to me in the office and he says, Papa, I like your watch. I said, really, you like it? He said, you couldn't answer. Like, he's just imagine. Can you just give the watch? Like, I said, you like it? He said, yes. I removed it. I gave it to him. I have given watches. I mean, people have received things from me just like that. Not because I have in abundance. So I have practiced the act of being kind. Tell somebody, be kind to people. Generosity. Tell somebody, generosity. Have you seen how the rich people in your family are always progressing? That doesn't mean when you see me, Papa, your shoe is nice. Make it with you all. Remember my uppercut. You like my men's, okay. You must do 40 days. This week I'm in trouble. I know I've committed myself. Yeah. Hey! You want me close? Anybody you see, tell him, I like something. You just. I like your iPhone. Tell us when there are some things that are not likeable. You can't like them. You I'm teaching good here, man. Glory. Number four. Are you getting blessed? I'm giving you spiritual sacrifices. Number four, loving God and others. Let me just quote the scriptures quickly so that I can finish at least 9:30 and spare you people small. Ephesians 5:1. Oh my goodness. Loving God and others. He says, Be ye therefore followers as dear children. Now look, next verse. He says, and walk in what? Love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us what? An offering and a sacrifice to God. He's telling you that we must be followers of God. How? In loving others. Now he's telling us that Christ demonstrated his love by what? Offering himself a sacrifice. That means every act of love is sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 13. If you are speaking in tongues and you are not kind, you don't show love to people. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men, of angels, and have not love, I become a brother. I told you, I won't stop saying several times, a man of God went for a pastor's conference in Nigeria, and they were having a worship session. This is full of pastors. He was from Ghana. He went there. He wanted to pass through one of the pastors to get to his seat. And when he was passing through, mistakenly he stepped on the feet on the man that was worshiping. And the man opens and says, hey, are you stupid? Fool. Don't you have eyes? And he finished the, I'm sorry, sir. Then the guy switched and lifted up his hands. Oh, we give you glory, Lord, as we honor you. So when they were worshiping, he was watching the guy like this. That was his worship that morning. How he managed to switch after an insult as a pastor. So the people who are speaking in tongues without love. Now look at the next verse. He says that although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, I've seen people who have used their prophetic ministry. Mommy, bro, I've seen prophets do that several times. I know a prophet who made one of his sons. He told him to bring oil to him, but he delayed. He made him kneel down in the sun for 2 hours. His spiritual son. I've seen a prophet who has slapped one of his sons because he was not ushering well. There was a prophet having another discussion with another prophet that he, when he realized, like, you know, there are some church members, when you look at them, you see a little pride. He said, when he sees pride on you and he's doing anointing service, he deliberately pour the oil for it to enter your eyes. So, your eyes is target. So by the time he does it deliberately, as though he's in a spirit, and you didn't like it, Father, touch it, not the goo in it. It's going into your eyes, just like that, because we need him. He says, though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have faith to move mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. Look at the verse 5. He's telling us what love is. He says, love is patient. If you read other versions, it says love is kind. Love does not bear record of things done to him. Anytime you forgive somebody, it's a sacrifice. Has anybody been rude towards you and you wanted to retaliate? Right? That feeling. If you do the opposite, godly way, that day it became a sacrifice. The Bible tells us in Romans 12 that do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. The Bible says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, what? Give him drink. For by so doing, you do what? Heap coals of fire upon his head. That revelation is lost in the church. Do me and do you. The person comes to pass by, didn't greet you. You also pass by, you never greet him. That's sheer carnality in the church. And sometimes when you find out why two people are not talking in church, if you find out the reason, it is so carnal. So can I. Pastors, can I. He went to a place, they didn't put him in front seat. If you know how that thing is sensitive to pastors, you know, see, you must train yourself. Not with titles, not with all these things. When you go to a place, in fact, the Bible says you have to sit at the back. If they recognize you, they bring you to the front. Rather than coming to sit in the front, they tell you, Archbishop Duncan Williams is coming, get up. Oh, I'm teaching good here. Tell somebody, love people unconditionally. Look, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. This was one verse that tempered with my heart. When you go home, go and read it. He says, hereby perceive we the love of God. If we want to know what love is, this is how we can perceive it. This is how we can discern it. He says, because he what? Laid down his life for us, that sacrifice. We ought to also what? Lay down our lives for who? For who? For who? The brethren. Now look at the next verse. He says, but whosoever has this was good. That means you have something you can give. And seeth his brother what? Have need. And shutted up his bowels of compassion from him. How what? Dwelleth the love of God in him.